AFAstreaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical. This is Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840.
The first six notes of We've Only Just Begun.
You said you weren't going to do that.
I couldn't help it.
Well, don't give me any of this.
Connery.
Nobody's going to get this, but there go ahead. Keep asking it.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. On this September the 6th, 2024. Thank you for listening to AFR's Trivia Friday, also known as
Learning University.
Learning University's on the air. Tim, Ed Vitagliano's with me, and J.J. Jasper. Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, what are we doing here, Ed?
This calling, and that's what it feels like. It feels like a calling to some higher expression of our giftedness.
Wow.
Thank that you was... for your honesty. Ed, continue, please.
Yes.
I'm going to fan the flame. You go, girl.
I'm going to reach for the stars. I'm reaching for the stars over here while you're doing this.
reaching for the stars.
Because my back's to the wall.
You know what? In this studio, you don't have to reach very far, Tim.
Yeah.
Before you touch one.
Yes, right.
So, all right. All joking aside, folks, this is Learning University. Yes, for now. This is Learning University. We're going to learn you something.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we each have three specially prepared questions, and really more, for you, our students, to learn you something. We're going to make you smarter, better, awesomer here at this school of higher education, as Tim says. So we invite you to call in and answer one of these questions and ask us one. Challenge us. And you know,
who's eligible to call in?
Well,
this is not first time callers.
No, that's right. If you don't want me to continue tooting our own horn, although I don't know why that's considered something great.
30 seconds have been lost.
Dude. Anybody can toot a horn, really. And we're not anybody here on this show.
No.
We're bringing it. We're bringing the heat, and we expect you folks, our listeners, to bring some heat back. So if you have not been on the air with us, and JJ is going to give the phone number out here in just a second, but if you've not been on the air with us in the last 2 months, we invite you to do so now.
Or first-time callers.
First time. Well, they would not have been on with us ever. We invite you to call in. You have to be 11 years old or older to call in, get involved in this challenge of wits. And so JJ is going to give you the number. We invite you to call in, ask, answer, or do both. JJ?
Absolutely. Here's the number to call, 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. And one of these original nine questions that we offer is a mystery question.
That's right. Mystery question. If you get it and answer it correctly, you will hear this sound.
Ah, the beloved cowbell.
Beloved cowbell.
Shall ring.
Yes.
All the world will know. You've won yourself a
AFR ball cap / tractor hat. What else? What'd you call it?
Trucker's cap. It's a nice cap, and it's got the AFR logo in the front of it. Very durable.
Yes.
And you will win yourself one of these should you answer the trivia question, the mystery question correctly.
I wear one when I'm in the shop.
When you're on your tractor.
Woodworking. And
you wear one in the shower, don't you, Ed?
Shower cap. Yes, we call it a shower cap.
That's the only
multi-purpose.
That's the only thing we haven't said. We get kind of stuck on the ball cap, folks. Think ball cap.
All right, is that all the ground rules?
Yeah, 888-589-8840. I think that we've got covered all the ground rules, Tim.
All right, go.
All right, here are my three questions. Question number one, I told you I was going to do this every week until the election. I forgot last week. It's a presidential election question. Who were the presidential candidates in the 1960 race for the White House? And we're talking about the two main contenders, Republican and Democrat. Who were the presidential candidates in the 1960 race for the White House? That should be pretty easy for most of you. Second question, and I think we probably have done this before, but I found this. It is, and these are 2024 answers. Name three of the top five ice cream flavors in America. And this, a little surprised at one or two of these. Name three out of the five top ice cream flavors in 2024. My source is the International Dairy Foods Association 2024. So this is up to date, up to date. And then they, we just got done with the Olympics.
They're part of the deep state, by the way.
The Olympics?
No.
Oh, the International Dairy Foods Association.
Yeah, laugh if you want to.
Yes. Well, they're part of that kind
they're
of globalist.
They're everywhere. Let me tell you something. Those people.
The globalist cabal.
Yeah, international dairy people.
They usually, they send their top CEO to Davos, Switzerland, mm-hmm. with all those other mm-hmm. Satan worshipers.
With the 6'7" Joe Biden.
Yeah. All right, my final question. The five rings on the Olympic flag are interlaced. Is that true or false? We just got through with the Olympics. The five rings on the Olympic flag are interlaced. Is that true or false? See, now you got to picture that in your mind. Or you can look it up. Either one. That's all I've got.
Here's what I've got. Start out with a Bible question. Belteshazzar. Belteshazzar. Boy, that'd make a yummy restaurant chain. Belteshazzar.
You guys going for your anniversary.
Too close to lunch when we're having this program. Belteshazzar, this familiar Old Testament person, is better known by what name? Belteshazzar, very familiar Old Testament person, is better known by what name? Second question, multiple choice. Which U.S. state has the highest relative humidity? We just suffered through a hot, humid summer. Well, which state has the highest relative humidity? A, Florida. B, Mississippi, or C, Alaska? Is it Florida, Mississippi, or Alaska that has the highest relative humidity? And then third question, true or false, a flamingo was the original mascot for Trix cereal and was replaced by a rabbit in 1967. Is that true or false? Trix cereal used to be a flamingo on the box, and then they changed it to the rabbit. True or false?
I was just going to mention that I can think off the top of my head two or three of my relatives who are always humid. It was just terrible.
Yeah.
You start sweating just as soon as they came in the room.
Right. You go to that family reunion, you just look in any direction. You can see which relative is humid.
That was a long way to go for a joke, I realized.
No, that's a good effort.
Yeah, good effort. Thank you. Thank you.
Good effort.
That's
He had his back against the wall.
That's a slap in the face. Yeah. Hey, that was a good effort. That was a good effort, son.
All right, so here are my three questions. What state grows the most apples? What U.S. state grows the most apples?
Now, is your source Johnny Appleseed? What do you got
That's my source, Johnny Appleseed.
With that pot, that cookie here pot on his Johnny head Appleseed. And that sling over his shoulder with all those apple seeds.
Anyway, I think I got my songs wrong. All right, a Bible question. And we may have had this one before, Ed, as you say.
We're getting so old, it's hard for us to
remember. We start repeating ourselves, don't we? All right, so Jesus, I think we did have this, but I'm going with it anyway. Got new listeners,
I've heard
right?
that name
new
before.
Students. Jesus is the number one name mentioned in the Bible by far, all right?
Okay.
I want to know the next two names mentioned most in the Scripture. Oh. From Genesis to Revelation. What are the next two names? They're Bible characters. that are mentioned in the scripture.
Can that's, we that's just for question. A hint? Can we tell them Rufus is not one of the names? Just to eliminate that.
Rufus is not even
Rufus
top,
not even in the top, top ten.
Not, no, not even.
Okay,
in
well
the
that'll help
ten.
Somebody.
He's number 13. I'll just tell you where he is.
Rufus is.
Rufus is 13.
Yeah.
All right.
He's a traveler.
All right, here you go. Yeah, this is a good one. What two people are printed on currency despite never being a U.S. president?
That's a good question.
Oh, that is.
What, there are two people that are on our U.S. currency that were never president of the United States.
It's that Uranus Plenumus person that you see on there, Eunice Plenumus.
What did you call it?
I don't know. I'm a little rusty on my Latin.
Eunice.
Let's go. Yeah.
All right, let's go. We're going to go to Tennessee first. What do y'all think of that? Good. Holly is on the line. Holly, welcome to Trivia Friday. Got to bring your own snacks when you come on this show.
Well, good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Holly. What part of Tennessee?
Paris.
Yes.
Northwest corner.
Great area.
You said that about every area, JJ.
No, it is.
I appreciate you.
I have landed at Paris International Airport.
Really?
One of the prettiest little airports.
It's an international
airport. No, I just threw that part in there. But it's real clean, really nice. I spoke at a men's event. They've got that John Paul Moody's, they've got that great camp there, and I got to speak one time, and I flew myself. But, yeah, Paris is a real nice area there.
It
Holly,
is. Thank
ask,
you.
Ask, answer, or do both?
I think I'll try the Belteshazzar.
All right, here's the question. This familiar Old Testament person, Belteshazzar, is better known by what name?
Daniel.
Nicely
yes.
done. Way to go, Holly. Thank you for getting the word. And
how is that? Is that just the English translation to the for the name? Or?
His name was Daniel, and then along with his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and when they were taken in exile, and then they gave him that name, Belteshazzar, the Babylonian name?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, hey, way to go, Holly. Way to right out of the chute getting the right answer.
Absolutely.
And a Bible question. What's your question for us?
Well, after World War II, when the Congressional Medal of Honors were being given by President Truman, this band was honored for his rescuing his companion soldiers. He was the first of his type, his classification, to ever get the Congressional Medal of Honor. There's even been a movie made about his life. Who is that, and what was his
which war?
World War job.
II. All right. Okay,
Ed's
guys.
Gonna know this.
Well, I'm trying to remember his name. He was a conscientious objector, and he was a medic.
And there was a movie about him about
Ridge,
5 or 6
Ruby,
years ago.
Yeah. Something Ridge movie about
yeah.
him.
Yeah, Hacksaw Ridge was the name of the movie, and I cannot think of his name.
I think Ruby Ridge is a Dolly Parton song. It's easy.
It's also a ride at Dollywood. It's crazy.
You get on the Ruby Ridge, you better not have
eating lunch.
That's right. That
I
too.
Think it's also
and you got to be this tall.
It's also the place of a controversial confrontation between the FBI and anyway we won't
yeah,
go
hey,
there.
Hey, back to the other. So did you get that a Hacksaw Ridge? What was the fella's name?
I can't remember the name, but
he got the movie right.
Conscientious objector, and he was a medic. What was his name, Holly?
His name was Desmond Doss.
Okay,
and he was credited for many. Rescues of his fellow soldiers, but he is best known for, you're right, his rescue at Hacksaw Ridge, where he was still under fire, but he rescued 75 wounded soldiers.
Wow. And that was maybe the most extraordinary part of that was he had to lower them off a cliff to save them.
Right.
He had to tie a rope to them and get them down. Just a really extraordinary story.
And when
story.
He couldn't go any farther and he'd done all beyond humanly possible, yeah. and he was depicted in the movie as a rock-solid Christian,
right.
I think his dad, maybe even a pastor, but he just kept saying, just one more,
yeah.
just one more. Boy, it's
extraordinary.
Maybe a good thing for us to think about as far as reaching the lost.
Yeah, amen.
Christ, just one more.
Hey, Holly, great question. Great question.
Have a good weekend. Thanks for listening to AFR.
Amen. All right, let's go to Texas, and Deborah is on the line. Deborah, welcome to Trivia Friday. Hey,
good
Deborah.
Morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. You could turn your radio down. That'll help with the feedback.
I left the room. Is it better now?
Yes, it is.
My husband was listening, and he wouldn't like it if I turned it off.
Okay. Well, we don't want
to
be the cause of
another room to answer
any marital disputes. So.
No, don't want to do that.
Yeah. Where do you live, Deborah?
What?
Where is home?
San Angelo, Texas.
Okay.
On the cusp of the Chihuahua Desert and the Hill Country, but we're more deserty than we are grassy and tree-y.
Is deserty, is that like a word there?
In, yes.
Okay. I just wondered.
It is when you live there.
I'm an English major, and I say it is.
There you go. You're the umpire. Hey, your area right there, San Angelo, just beyond that, that's where you guys have that rattlesnake roundup, which gives me the heebie-jeebies just thinking about it.
That's in Sweetwater.
Yeah. But right over from you guys, right?
Yep. But our big news is that in the last 2 days, we received 12 inches of rain out of a yearly average of just 18.
Wow.
We really got blessed.
Wow.
Needed that.
That's flooding.
Everything's green and the cracks are all healed up in the soil.
Amen.
And
oh, that's nice.
All right, Deborah, ask, answer, or both?
I'd like to do both.
Okay. Which one do you want to answer?
Actually, I only knew the Belteshazzar one for sure, so I guess I'm going to have to guess on one of the other ones.
Yeah.
I'll take the most humid state.
All right, here's the question.
Yeah.
Which, and it's multiple choice, so you're going to have a 33 1/3% chance.
Mm.
Which U.S. state has the highest relative humidity? A, Florida, B, Mississippi, or C, Alaska?
I'm going to say Mississippi.
Yeah.
No, that's incorrect.
No. Wow.
That's what I would have thought.
I've been there. I thought it was pretty.
Well,
I'm with you. It's whether it's top or not, it's high.
I think this may be a trick question.
I think the relative is something to that. I don't even know. I didn't look up.
What's the answer?
Oh, I'm not going to give it because now it's just still
50-50.
Now it's between Florida and Alaska. But see, that's weird because I'm like you. When you come to Mississippi as a visitor, the Chamber of Commerce, they hand out little knives for you to be able to cut the humidity in June and July.
But really, if you think about it, the whole Gulf South would be the same way. I mean,
right.
Alabama, Louisiana.
Yeah, the weather doesn't know the
state border, line.
State line.
Yeah. So, I mean, but the moisture from the Gulf of Mexico, especially in the summertime, you get that up in Ohio and the Gulf, the effect of the Gulf moisture reaches way up. But, yeah, the southeastern part of the country.
I grew up in Owensboro, Kentucky, western Kentucky, and it was in what they called the Ohio Valley. And apparently we were just like right in that whole region, Ohio Valley. And because we were down there right on the Ohio River, man, in the summertime, you just saw that haze just hanging every afternoon. And it was the humidity was just about like it is in Alabama or Mississippi. Yeah.
All right. What's your question for us, Deborah? We're ready.
Okay. The Olympics has been dedicated to sports competitions since 1896. True or false?
We're going to talk amongst ourselves here, Deborah. So
here's the deal. Yes, can we still say sports now that they got breakdancing in there? Because they kind of threw a wrench in there and kind of monkeyed around with their original intent.
Breakdancing. I'm kind of with you. Although I like watching it.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's a sport. Okay, so Deborah, don't say anything. We're going to talk amongst ourselves. I mean, it started in in Athens.
Athens. So it's going to be before that. But did she say started? Oh, yeah.
I think she's talking about the official Olympic Games. I think she's right. I mean, I think that's she's right. I think that was the year.
Well, so there are a couple of people. I saw a little backstory. They still have the original Olympic wreath. They've got it in there with their wedding cake, a little slice of their wedding cake in their freezer from the 1800s.
Yeah,
so.
Really? Four electric freezers existed, huh?
As long as I've known JJ, he got me on that one. He was totally straight-faced.
Right. Yeah, what say you? I'm going to just say whatever you guys say.
Now, I'm going to go with Tim.
Yeah, I think 1896. I think that
that's the modern Olympics. So.
Okay, modern
Olympics. How did we do? How did Tim do, Deborah?
So you're saying true.
True.
Yes.
Okay. Well, this was kind of a trick question also, like you gave me. You didn't need to focus on the year. It's false, because from 1912 to 1948, you could meddle in the fine arts, music, sculpture, architecture, and painting.
What?
It
Olympics?
Wasn't strictly sports. Yep.
Now, how in the world on painting are they going to be able to be subjective?
I guess they just display it,
well,
and the judges,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Bob Ross, he's like Mark Spitz or something. Yes. With a number of
gold medals
he racked up.
Yeah, they say both of their names in the same sentence.
Michael Phelps, right up there with him, if you look in the record books.
And he got it for his hair as well.
Yeah.
For that.
All right, that's great.
That is good. Thank you.
Excellent.
Thank you, Deborah. You have a great day. Appreciate you listening.
West Texas.
All right, next up.
All right, let's stay in Texas. David is on the line. David, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Good morning, man. Hope y'all having a good day.
We are. David, this is going to pertain to you. A little discouraging, sad news. My friend David got his ID stolen, and so now he's just going by DAV. That's going to be so tough when he's writing his with his signature and writing down stuff. David. He's just going back.
Oh, he lost his ID.
He lost his ID.
Okay.
He's had his ID stolen.
That took a while.
That was a good effort.
Rolodex of 1,000.
Was that a nice try? I
don't feel so bad now about my sweaty relative joke.
Hey.
A Rolodex of 1,000 kernels of corn.
David, what part of Texas?
Yeah. Northeast, Tyler, Texas. I'm your friend, JJ.
Oh, yeah.
And it's good to talk to you all.
Yes, sir, Dr. David.
All of y'all, as we say in South.
That's right. Good. Well, we miss hearing from you, buddy. Ask, answer, or do both, Doc.
I'd like to answer Tim's question about the currency.
Okay, the question before us that David is going to answer is as follows. What two people are printed on our currency despite never being a U.S. president?
On the $10 bill is Alexander Hamilton.
Yes.
On the $100 bill is Benjamin Franklin.
Yes. Wow. Absolutely. Way to go. Sorry.
Way to go.
Ding,
ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding. I expected maybe it to ring. Did you look that up, or did you know that?
No, I've never had a $100 bill, but I've had a few tens.
Well, a whole lot of people the last 3.5 years.
So all the other currencies would have former presidents on there.
Right.
But only Alexander Hamilton and Benjamin Franklin. Yeah, Benjamin Franklin. And people have the saying, you know, the Franklins. No, the Benjamins.
The Benjamins.
Talk about the $100 bills. All right, fire away, Brother David. We're ready.
Would you like to have a history question or a geography question?
Mm-hmm. I think we should go geography because Tim will know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Tim.
Lay it all on me.
All right.
Thank you.
Number one. The most populous city by population, not geography, is in Europe, is which city? I've got three hints for you if you need hints.
We can pick from three. Okay, go ahead.
Number one, it's not any city you're thinking of.
That's our hint.
Okay.
So ask the question again.
What's the most populous city in Europe?
Most populous city.
Got to remember Eastern and Western Europe. He says it's not anything we're thinking about. Okay, go ahead. What's your other hint? Do you have another hint?
It's the most visited city in the world.
All right.
Okay. And the third hint is it's east of where you're thinking of.
Well,
wow.
It's most.
How does he know what I'm thinking?
Well, it's just like because we're thinking of the major cities there in Europe, but the most.
I'm going to say Paris.
I'll say good grief.
Good grief.
But he's saying it's nothing we're thinking of.
I'll say Moscow.
That's
may not be considered Europe. I don't know. Hey, that's our music. I think you stumped us, David. What's the question? I mean, the answer.
Istanbul.
Right. Why is it so visited, I wonder?
Turkey's Europe, right?
Well, location.
East Istanbul. Yeah, it's kind of intersects the Middle East with the,
Asia. It's across from
Turkey or Asia Minor. Thank you, David. Great question.
Come see
Appreciate it. So Istanbul is larger than Paris.
Wow. And it is in Europe. It's across the Bosphorus.
We'll be back momentarily.
If ending babies' lives in their mothers' wombs isn't heartbreaking enough, the Biden-Harris administration punishes those who protect life, including up to 10 years in jail. And in a shocking stance, the Dems' VP nominee, Walz, supports infanticide, meaning the death of newborns. When will this madness end? Preborn's network of clinics is positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country, on standby to protect and love mothers facing unplanned pregnancies. By introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound and showering her with God's love, her baby's chance at life doubles. But they can't do it without our help. If you're pro-life, please consider a donation of any size to support the mission of Preborn. All gifts are tax deductible and will help to defend the defenseless. One ultrasound is just $28, or five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for Preborn's entire network for a day. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Come and listen to my story about a man named Jed, a poor mountaineer, barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food, and up through the ground come a bubbling crude. Oil, that is, black gold, Texas tea. Well, the first thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire. Kinfolk said, Jed, move away from there. Said California is the place you ought to be. So they loaded up the truck and they moved to Beverly.
All right, welcome back to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, and JJ, thanks for listening. And we are going to repeat our questions that have
heretofore
gone unanswered. Heretofore gone unanswered, and then we will roll on with our calls from across the U.S. of A. Go ahead,
Roland,
Ed.
Roland.
All right, here are my three questions. Who were the presidential candidates in the 1960 race for the White House? Talking about the main two, Republican and Democrat. Question number two, name three out of the top five ice cream flavors in America. And third question, the five rings on the Olympic flag are interlaced. Is that true or false? The five rings on the Olympic flag are interlaced. True or false?
We're really all interlaced.
Yes.
Yeah, if you go back to Noah and his Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
Right. Right. And that guy you mentioned earlier in the show.
Yeah, Belteshazzar has got the restaurant chain.
Oh, I thought you meant Rufus.
Yes.
Oh,
right.
No, that's it. We're
you
all.
You know, Denny's bought them.
Bought who?
Belteshazzar. They bought them out. So now they're all Denny's.
All right, you started this.
Sorry.
I saw a post that somebody said, pancakes, if you get that little rim of crust around the pancakes, that hits right.
Yes.
And you know this is going to be a perfect pancake. And I didn't, until I saw that post, I thought, you get one, it's okay, but a little doughy in the middle.
Yes.
But if it's got that little rim of crust, you go, Yes. I'm thankful for Cracker Barrel or your grandmother or wherever, because you know.
Or Belteshazzar.
Yeah, I'm so glad I'm here at Belteshazzar's. Look at my perfect pancake. All right, here's what I've got. First question. Which U.S. state has the highest relative humidity? Is it Florida or Alaska? Mississippi was already guessed, but that was not correct. Which U.S. state has the highest relative humidity, Florida or Alaska? Second question, true or false? A flamingo was the original mascot for Trix cereal and was replaced by a rabbit in 1967. Mm. Is that true or false? And then I'll add one. Squab is a name given to what kind of Q-tip? No, not Q-tip. Squab is a name given to what kind of baby birds? Squab is a name.
So if you go to your
to what kind of baby birds?
Look out your window into your backyard, and you call your wife over and say, "Honey, look, look at all these squabs
right
running around in our backyard." Then we're going to know what are we talking about.
Yes, here. What kind of baby birds?
And let me just say this: if they're cooked right, they will have a little ring around the outside of them. Because they're nice and crispy and crunchy.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, Ed. Yeah. You're a sick individual. Yeah, yeah. I know your wife tells you that routinely.
Am I up here?
Tim and I want to weigh in.
My turn?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. What state grows the most apples? That's a very simple, direct question. And number two, in the Bible, Jesus is the most mentioned name. I want to know the next two. The next two names most mentioned in the Bible after Jesus are what? What are they? All right. Let's go, Ed.
All right, we're going to go to Kansas, and Kurt is on the line. Kurt from Kansas, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
I'll speak for myself. I'm doing great.
Yeah.
How about you guys?
Hey, yes. Kurt, we found out yesterday, breaking news for our family, we got four grandsons. Found out yesterday we have a granddaughter on the way. So going to be a cheerleader for that rugby team. Little rose between the thorns. So we're doing good. How about you and yours?
I'm doing good. I'm highly blessed.
Amen. Hey, you want to ask, answer, or do both, sir?
Well, first, I'm from Topeka. You didn't ask me that.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good area.
Yeah, we don't always ask, but we're glad you're from Topeka.
Yes, sir.
It's not Topeka.
It's Topeka.
Topeka. Yeah.
Trying to help you.
How's that city that there, Topeka?
Hey, I think you're confusing it with
pretty
tapioca.
Nice.
That's easy to do. Hey, Kirk, ask, answer, or do both?
I'm going to do both.
Which one you feel confident about?
Well, there's several I want to think, but I'm going to try the one that lady missed, the humidity one.
All right, this is multiple choice. We're down to two. Which U.S. state has the highest relative humidity, Florida or Alaska?
I'm going to take a stab in the dark and say Alaska.
It is 100% true. It's Alaska, and I don't know how that's even possible, because I'm thinking about Mississippi and Florida, that humidity.
Did you research your question?
No, I didn't. Sometimes I look at the backstory because I think, how's that possible? I think maybe relative humidity may be a little clue, but I didn't even, you know.
But he got it right. Kurt
got it right. Nicely done.
Wow. Go, Kurt.
So Alaska has a higher relative humidity than...
More humid than Florida or Mississippi.
It must be something about, Alaska is so big. They're like number one in everything geographical or weatherized because, listen, they, if you look at the, if you overlay the Alaska over the continental United States, it covers half the continental United States.
Yeah, right.
It's humongous.
Well, now, my wife lived in Alaska for 2 years, and she said the mosquitoes were so large, yet they had to have their own little tiny runways. And, I mean, in the summertime, like these mosquitoes would just carry you off.
Yeah.
Thick, humid, you know, jungle-like.
I think in the continental United States, I got to think Florida, so because it's humid. Probably 9 to 10 months out of the year.
Yeah. Well, I'll work on that. Yeah. And that if I ever decide to become a doctor, I'll let that be my thesis. Because that'd be people want to know. Inquiring minds want to know that kind of information.
Yeah.
What's your question for us, Kurt?
Okay. Excuse me. What is Kansas is state songs.
The state song?
Song of
okay,
Kansas.
I know that it's the Jayhawk State. I know that's what it's called. Or the and the sunflower is its flower. I would know that. But the state song for Kansas?
I didn't know states had state songs.
It just came to me. I'll be working on the combine all the long day.
I'm going with JJ.
No, I don't know. Teach us something. What is it, Kurt?
Home on the Range.
Home
on the Range.
Yeah.
So, obviously states do have a state song.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I don't know what Mississippi's is or what Massachusetts was.
Right.
Or maybe it's got, I know the words in it are, if you own it, we'll tax it. But I don't know what the tune is.
Hey, Kurt, have a great weekend. Thanks for listening to AFR.
So
that is a good song, Home buddy. That's a classic right there.
Yeah. Well, let's stay in Kansas then. What do you say, Larry?
Or could have been take me out to the basketball game.
It's true. Take me out to the basketball game.
Yeah.
Larry, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, Larry, did you know that about your state?
Yeah, and that song was written just a few miles from where I'm at.
Wow. Well, see, I wondered if maybe somebody from Kansas wrote that and hence your reason for adopting.
You're not
that.
Taking credit for that, are you then, Larry? Because it was just a few miles.
Well, it was 1872.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow, and listen, that's impressive it was written.
That is a great song.
1872.
What a classic. Hey, Larry, ask, answer, or do both?
Do both.
Which one you want to answer?
The apple question.
All right, Larry, the question that I have related to apples is as follows. What state grows the most apples?
Well, I used to visit with ham radio operators up in Washington, so that's what I would say, Yakima, Washington.
Okay, well, the state of Washington is the correct answer.
Wow.
Excellent.
And in fact,
nicely done.
And in fact, Washington State currently produces over half of the U.S. domestically grown apples.
Really? Half?
Yeah, over half.
Wow.
Over half the apples that are grown, that we grown in the U.S. are from the state of Washington. I guess we purchased from Mexico and other, maybe, well, I don't know about Mexico, but probably Canada. You have to have a cooler climate, a moderate climate to grow
I know there's always a lot of, when I was growing up, New England always had a lot of apples.
Well, that would be probably a similar type climate to the state of Washington. Yeah. But, yeah, you got it
That's great.
Brother Larry.
Nicely done.
Excellent. Good work.
What's your question for us?
I have a little backstory first here. In April 15th of 1977 is when Christian radio came to the Midwest here, at least on the FM dial. And one of my favorite programs was the Back to the Bible broadcast. Can you tell me what hymn always opened the broadcast and what hymn always closed the broadcast?
I want to help with your backstory. The Bot Radio Network, probably the one who launched there in your area back in the 70s, but the hymn that opened and closed, which one would that
be? You're talking about Back to the Bible? Is that the show?
Right.
J. Vernon McGee?
No, it was Theodore Epp.
Who was followed by Woodrow Kroll. After Theodore Epp, Back to the Bible.
Right.
And I think Back to the Bible, they're based out of Iowa, Des Moines, or anyway.
You know, great show, and boy, you know, of course we believe in Christian radio, but I'm stumped on the hymn. Go ahead and tell us.
I've got no idea.
Okay. Well, this will be an audio answer. Here we go.
I know.
I love to tell the story. Now, can we get a little bit of extra credit if we say it was written by Fanny Crosby?
Was it?
Was it?
Well, she wrote 8,000.
Yeah.
So I'm taking a shot in the dark there.
Yeah.
You're pretty good odds.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thanks, buddy.
What were the names of the songs, the hymns?
The one that closed the broadcast. Can you give me that one?
No, sir.
No, sir.
I always close. Well, here you. This tape is 47 years old, but here we go. It's a little. Come on here. This tape player is a little.
Yeah.
Well.
Can you just hum it?
Sorry. Here we go.
Lincoln, Nebraska. 685.
This is Theodore F. Humble Voice.
Closing thought. Yeah. A man may suffer without sinning, but he cannot sin without suffering.
More love to thee.
Good.
All right, good Christian radio trivia right there. Thank you.
Thank you,
Larry. Still got
47-year-old tape?
Would that have been like a cassette tape he was playing?
Yeah.
Yes.
47 years old, he said.
All right, you're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, and JJ, back to the phones.
All right, let's go to Arkansas, and Bruce is on the line. Bruce, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hey there.
Hey, Bruce.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you a first-time caller, Bruce? Have you been on before?
I'm a second-time caller.
Okay.
Good.
Welcome back.
Two time, yeah.
Welcome back, and do you want to ask or answer or both?
I guess I'll do both.
Okay. Which of our trivia questions do you want to answer?
I want to do the presidential trivia.
Okay. Who were the presidential candidates in the 1960 race for the White House? What do you say, Bruce?
I'll say John F. Kennedy and Richard Nixon.
Woo! Hey!
There you go.
You won, man. Bruce, you're going to get you a hat, man. Cap, it's on the way.
That's a good deal. I won the last time I was on.
What?
Oh, all right.
You won the cap the last time?
Yeah. No, man. I won a
travel mug.
A mug or whatever. Yeah.
That's right.
Well, now you can wear the cap while you drink out of your mug.
Yeah, you talk about representing.
You know, Bruce, I would expect to hear a little more thankfulness in your voice.
Your tone. Yeah.
That may be.
Well, he said he got a quote mug or something.
Oh,
and so we spent a lot of time and energy on this.
We handcraft those.
Yeah, those
ourselves.
Yeah, like Santa's.
We
elves.
Got a kiln right on the over yeah. the next room.
No, I'm just kidding with you there, Bruce. Congratulations. We are going to send you the cap though.
So I know you got a question for us, but yeah. Bruce, stay on the line when we're finished. And it will put you on hold. And Cindy will get your information, and we'll get you your ball cap or your shower cap, however you want to wear it, right out as soon as we can. What's your question for us, Bruce? Okay.
I think I'm going to ask Tim one. The same one I asked last time about the baseball player.
All right, so JJ and I, we're going to go get some popcorn while you guys carry on there.
Y'all have heard it.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
Which Major League Baseball players hit in the most triple plays?
Most triple plays.
I thought Tim might like that one.
Yeah, I mean, I do know a lot about, you know, the history of baseball, but I've never seen that question. I can't imagine.
It can't be very many. It's got to be maybe
two or three.
Three, yeah.
Something like that, maybe. I don't know. What's the answer, Bruce? Can you give me a hint?
Let me see. Brooks. It was, he played for Baltimore Orioles.
You said Brooks Robinson.
Brooks Robinson, yeah.
Certain baseman. How many did he hit into?
Hit into four, and he also participated in two offensively.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing.
He's a triple play magnet.
Yeah, I mean, the chances of that happening are maybe 1%, something like that.
Because triple plays are so rare.
Right.
Yeah.
For someone to hit into more than one.
Yeah.
And then four.
And wait, he hit into how many?
He hit into four.
That's remarkable.
And he.
Yeah.
Two offensive.
Hey, the game's on the line. We need to pinch hit for Brooks. Because he's having a bad luck.
He's got a streak.
Yeah.
That's going the wrong direction.
Yeah. But he was one of the, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. He was amazing.
Third baseman there. All right, Bruce.
All right. I'm going to put you on hold, Bruce.
Yes, yes.
So congratulations. Stay tuned. Yeah, and congratulations.
Let's repeat our questions, guys, quickly.
All right. And I will add one. Name three out of the top five ice cream flavors in America. Number two, the five rings on the Olympic flag are interlaced. Is that true or false? And then third question, the Cosa Nostra is another name for what? The Cosa Nostra is another name for what? That's all
you
know, I got.
I got about three answers, goofy answers, trying to compete for me blurting something out.
Yeah.
But it could one could be the right one.
Yeah. So
I'm biting my tongue. Hey, here's what I've got. First question, true or false, a flamingo was the original mascot for Trix cereal and was replaced by a rabbit in 1967. Is that true or false? You know all those marketing people, they're geniuses, aren't
yeah.
they? They're sitting around, the sales drop one month, and they go, well, it's because of that flamingo.
Yes,
ain't nobody
right.
got no flamingo for a pet. It's just not hitting right. It's not connecting with people. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, who you know has got a flamingo? That's the reason our sales are down this month. All right, well, let's make it a puppy or a kitten. No. Then, because the dog people, you make the cat people mad. Cat people, let's make it a rabbit.
And while we're at it, let's add more sugar.
Yeah.
Well, if it's true. Second yeah. question, squab is a name given to what kind of baby bird? Squab is the name of what kind of baby bird? And then I'll add one. Attila the Hun was the leader of which ancient empire? Attila the Hun was the leader of which ancient empire?
All right. So my question that I've got left here, I've got, I guess I'll ask two. The only question I have left from my original questions is this one. Jesus is the most mentioned name in the Bible. What names are the next two? What names are the next two mentioned in terms of number, you know, most numbers, most number of times mentioned? And then I'll add one, since we've got whatever it is, 35 minutes left on the program today.
And this is hard for you to do, to add another question.
Yeah, I like saving them. You know, you spend so much time. I tell you what, I'm going to save that.
Tim, got 30 minutes. Add one. Give them more selection.
Okay. You're right next to the word miserly when it comes to questions is your picture.
Well, I mean, like you guys, I spend hours,
I know,
researching these. I don't like to just throw
them out there willy-nilly. Our listeners are worth it. Give them
all
more
right.
selection.
So this person is widely considered the greatest inventor of all time. What is this person's name? This person is widely considered the greatest inventor of all time.
I'm going to say it's one of my kids for inventing excuses.
Bada-boom.
They were really good at that.
They were good at that?
Yeah.
Bada-boom. So anyway, this person is widely considered the greatest inventor of all time. What is this individual's name? All right.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. We go to North Carolina, and John is on the line. John, welcome to Trivia Friday, brother.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing well. John, you want to ask, answer, or do both?
How about both?
We welcome it. We welcome the challenge. Which one do you want to try to answer?
How about who the presidential candidates were in 1960?
John, I got bad news and bad news. Okay, first of all, the bad news was it's already been answered. And secondly, it was also the mystery question. So if you'd gotten through just a little bit earlier, that might have been you with that cap on the way.
You're just Captain Sunshine today.
Okay. I'll tell you what, John, Tim's right. That is kind of a little bit of a downer. So I'll tell you what, if you can answer one of our questions, you're going to get a hat.
Wow. That's generous right there.
So you got to pick which question you want to answer.
I can do the Cosa Nostra one.
All right. Here's the question. The Cosa Nostra is another name for what, John?
The Italian Mafia.
The Italian Mafia. That's right.
Oh, what? Do we clap for the Italian Mafia?
No, we're clapping for John.
Okay. See, I was going to say something about that surgery.
I thought that was a travel magazine.
Yeah, travel magazine. I was going to say that surgery you get if you're not able to breathe out of both nostrils. I'm going to go get that. What surgery?
The Cosa Nostra.
Yes, and then you're going to have black eyes for about 6 weeks, but it's going to be worth it because you can stop and smell the roses.
Now, that's both of those are funny. The travel magazine. What travel magazine are you?
There's some kind of travel magazine called Conde Nast or something. Oh, yeah.
Conde Nast.
I think that's one of the dinosaur birds that flew.
Yeah, like I'm making this up. Look it up. It's real.
Conde Nast.
I don't joke about things like this.
Why would you, right?
Why would I?
Why would you on this show? No. Why would you just throw something out there? Yes.
All right, John, so when we get through with you on the air, I know you've got a question for us. I'm going to put you on hold. Stay on the air with us. Don't hang up.
I like that magazine, Malarkey. Malarkey R Us.
All right, John, what's your question for us?
My question is, can I just make a comment on a lady that called yesterday afternoon? She said that when she was telling a bedtime story or to praying with her daughters at bedtime, they mentioned something about when Christ was carrying his own cross through the crowd, if he was embarrassed. And I just wanted to see if you guys agree that the only time that Christ was probably embarrassed would be when he was on the cross, because most of us are blessed with indoor plumbing. Crucifixion is very nasty and barbaric. So they don't let you off the cross to use the restroom. So if any of us were presented with that situation, I think we would be embarrassed because what we'd be forced to do in front of everybody.
Okay. All right.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
thank you for your insight. And thank you so much for listening to AFR.
Hey, and John, I'm going to put you on hold, so don't hang up. And Cindy will get your address, and we'll get the AFR ball cap into the mail for you. All right, folks, we're going to take a 5-minute break for news. When we come back, your three professors, Tim, JJ, and Ed, we're bringing the learning. Please join us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.